Questions. There's lots of questions that we have. And sometimes you want to ask the question, what does it actually mean to be a Jesus follower? It's all well and good to become a Christian or to invite somebody else to become a Christian, but somewhere along the line, somebody needs to step up and ask, what does that mean? And what do we do about it? And what does it look like on Monday morning or Friday night? What does it mean to be a Jesus follower, to be a disciple? Well, we're going to come back to that question, but first I want to tell you about when I was in kindergarten. I didn't go to JK's. This is my first year of school, and my kindergarten teacher was named Mrs. Richardson. Mrs. Richardson was wonderful. Mrs. Richardson sang songs. She did circle time. She told stories. She led crafts. She let me read any book I wanted to. She was wonderful. And I always saw Mrs. Richardson at school. And so that's where I figured that Mrs. Richardson lived. If you asked me, where does your teacher live? I would have said, at school. So I was very surprised, kind of shocked, taken aback even, later in the school year when it was time for our kindergarten class trip. And we went to Mrs. Richardson's house. Well, actually, we went to her little hobby farm because she had a bunch of small animals, goats and lambs, and like it was very own petting zoo right there to bring the five-year-olds to visit. And it was a wonderful experience, but my mother got a real kick out of it when she realized that I thought that my kindergarten teacher lived at the school. I only ever saw her at school. That was the only kind of interaction I ever had with her. And you know, and when I think about it, that was true of a lot of the teachers I had throughout my education. You know, you see your grade 2 teacher at school. You don't really ask them what their home life is like or, you know, where they go to the grocery store. They're there and you learn from them. That's the same with if it's your grade 12 math class or you know, I took a bunch of university courses in math and computers. They taught me about math and computers. They did not teach me a lot of other things about living life. And I couldn't tell you where any of them lived or what their homes were like or what their lives were like outside of teaching lessons, giving exams, marking papers. That's kind of the only interaction that I had with them. They were good teachers. They were doing their job. But you know, when I got to seminary, to the university where I was learning how to be a pastor, I had a different kind of relationship with many of the professors that I had there for those years. And they taught me more than just the course material. Michael Knowles taught me a lot about preaching, but he also gave me an incredible example of what it means to be a compassionate listener. A person who really cares about other people. Jim Peterson was our theology paper and professor. He's absolutely brilliant. But he also demonstrated what it meant to be a good father to a pair of teenage twin girls. These are people that I got to know on a more personal level. I ate in their homes. We talked about things that weren't on the course curriculum. They remind me of something that Paul once said when he was talking to the Thessalonians. He was talking about himself, but you know, when I think of these teachers, they were delighted not only to share with me the gospel of God, but their lives as well. You talk about good teachers. And when I think of that kind of learning, not just learning about math or learning about science or learning about car engines, but learning about life. That makes me think of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. See, the word disciple basically means learner. But in the Bible, disciples are never just people who go to courses and listen to lectures. Even the people gathering around Jesus to hear these stories, the Pharisees and Sadducees to come to Jesus with questions, those weren't his disciples. The disciples were the ones, yes, who were sitting at his feet and learning from him, but they were also the ones who followed him. What did Jesus say to Peter and to Andrew, to James and to John at the lakeside? Come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people instead. He said it to Philip at the Jordan River. He said it to Matthew, Levi, at the tax booth. Come, follow me. And what did they do? They left their homes, they left their jobs, they left business as usual, and they set out on an adventure, a journey, following Jesus, learning from him, and watching him. It's not so much like taking a night course at the college as it is taking an apprenticeship. I mean, I betcha, Clayton, did you learn how to fix cars by reading a whole lot in books or by working with somebody who knew how to fix cars? Do you remember some of the names of the guys who taught you how to do that? There you go. Sometimes you gotta learn to do by doing. That's the same whether you're fixing cars or whether you are plowing fields or sewing clothes or a lot of times doing things on your computer like putting together a bulletin, figuring out how to be a church treasurer. There are so many things in life where you have to learn from somebody else. You have to learn to do by doing. You have to step out and follow. And that kind of learn to do by doing, that kind of being a learner-follower, takes a relationship. Takes a relationship with a person. Not just the kind of relationship you only have in your kindergarten class where you don't even know that somebody, you know, has a life outside of school. But a real relationship with a person you care about and who cares about you. We are learner followers in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And outside of that relationship, you can have all kinds of knowledge packed into your brain, good Bible knowledge about what the Bible says and how it's been read over thousands of years. But unless you've got that relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're not a disciple. You can't be a learner follower. Disciples are learner followers, and we're also hearer doers. James and Paul and Old Testament people too say things like, don't just be somebody who hears God's word. You also need to be somebody who does God's word. James says that somebody who just hears the word and then goes away and doesn't do it is like somebody who looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he looks like. You gotta learn to do by doing. There's no good just hearing what God says and then going out and living like it doesn't matter at all. We are learner followers in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we are hearer doers, people who hear God's word and then go out and live that way. Do what it says. But if you want to know what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, then that has to raise a question. Well, what does it say? What are we listening to? What are we hearing? What are we supposed to do? What does it look like to follow Jesus every day, every moment? Does it look like a whole set of rules on a chart that you can paste up in the classroom? At top, be kind, don't push anybody. That's kind of no hands-on. This is no pushing and no kissing unless you're asked permission, right? There's a no hands-on. You see the sets of rules that you've got in an elementary school classroom, the sets of rules that we can find all over the Bible. But how do you sum all that up? How do you figure out what's most important? So one day, Jesus was in Jerusalem teaching. And a whole bunch of people, intelligent people, wise people, Bible scholar people came to Jesus. They were pretty annoyed with him because the day before he'd gone into the temple and he'd turned over the tables and he had wrecked up everything. And they wanted to know who he thought he was and what on earth he thought he was doing. And so they came and they started asking him all these questions, and Jesus answered every single one of them, one by one. And then another man stood up, and he'd been listening to this whole debate, and he noticed that again and again, Jesus had really, really good answers for these really, really hard questions. And so he got up and he asked maybe the most important question of all. Jesus, what's the most important commandment that God has given us? Sum up the whole Old Testament in one sentence. Jesus, would you please? And Jesus brought out the one thing that all of these listeners would have heard and said every week, every day of their lives. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jews for centuries have called that the Shema, because the word hear, hear, O Israel, is Shema. But it was recited every time you went to the synagogue. Every time you go to the temple, it's still recited at synagogues and in Jewish homes to this very day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God. That is the most important command that God has ever given any of us. But Jesus never just stops with an easy answer or gives people a straight answer in the Bible. He always has something else to add. He says the second one is like it. You can't have one without the other in a lot of ways. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the scribe who had asked him the question is sitting there nodding his head. He says, you're right, Jesus. You're right. To love God, to know that he is the one and only, and to love him with all your heart and soul and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, that is more important than any burnt offering or any sacrifice that people could make. That might not sound like such a profound thing to say to us, because we don't need to go to the temple day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year to sacrifice animals in order to make sure that we maintain our relationship to God. But for that scribe, for those people, to recognize that loving God and loving the people around us, that's the goal. The sacrifices were how they demonstrated that, how they moved towards that goal. They were part of the ways that people loved God and loved neighbors. Those sacrifices were the way of worship. They were the way of thanks. They were the way of praise. They were the way of making things right when you had done something wrong to God and to others. They were ways that people loved. They weren't the goal. They weren't the end in themselves. Because the most important thing was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, with everything you are, with everything you have, every feeling, every thought, the part of you, that your whole personality, yourself, your decision making, your body, your strength, your wholeness, your muchness. To love God with everything you've got. And then to love your neighbor, to love the people around you, not just with a sense of, I feel nice about them, but the kind of love that goes through good times and bad and sees somebody really, really ugly who has done you wrong again and again and still wants what is best for that person because God loved you like that. That kind of love. The kind of love that pours out into action to help when somebody's hurting, to sit with somebody who is grieving, to give to somebody who is in need. To make right when we have done wrong. That kind of love will make sure that we're people who do not lie, do not steal, do not covet, all of those all get summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. You are disciples. You are Jesus followers. You are learner followers. People in love with Jesus Christ who loved you and gave himself for you. And people who are following Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. You are hearer doers, people who hear God's word and do what it says, who live out what it looks like. And it looks like loving God, praise and worship, thanksgiving and prayer, putting God first, letting God shape your priorities at home and at work, when you're interacting with your grandchildren or your nieces and nephews or your aging parents or your cousins or the neighbor down the road or the person in the next cubicle at work. Hearer doers, learner followers. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. To have chosen to believe and trust and follow Jesus Christ, who died for us and came back to life. To know that God has put his Holy Spirit in us to give us the strength to follow, to help us to understand God's word, to hear it and to do what it says. And then who walks out of this building, and every single hour of every single day, we love God and we love people. It is as simple and as incredibly messy, complicated as that. This is who God created us to be. This is what God has created us to do. It's God's invitation and challenge to every single one of us. And it's possible because God loves us first and helps us to love him and love our neighbor. Let's pray. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. And we are overwhelmed again and again when we think of your love and the way that it sent you to sacrifice for us. Father, we pray that your love would overflow into our hearts to such an extent that we love you and we love those around us. Please help us to be people who learn and follow from you. Please help us to be people who hear your word and do it. Please help us to be people who love. We pray this in the name of the one who loved us first, through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Go into this world as disciples of Jesus Christ, as learner followers, as hearer doers, of people who have experienced God's love, and now show God's love to one and all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.